Good morning. Come on, man. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. You know, a lot of us could have made a lot of excuses with 1604 being closed down, the highways being closed down. Back in my younger days, Pastor Austin, I would have said, oh, you know, I just don't know if I'll make it on time to church. I think I'm going to skip this morning. But you did not skip, so give yourself a hand. Come on, somebody. Man, you made it. You made it. I'm excited for what God is doing. We're in week two of our series, Do the New You. And we just believe that God is going to do some incredible things through this series as we highlight what God has for us. But before we dive into the Word, you can turn to your Bible, Psalm chapter 139. We'll be there in just a moment. But I want to let you know that we will get to the Word, but we've been in this Light the World campaign, and maybe you're a guest with us this morning. We have been believing God for not only land, but plans so that we can get ready to build for the house that God has for our church. And we're so excited about what He's been up to and what He is doing. So last Sunday, we said we're going to take up a miracle offering of $80,000. This is 20% of our annual budget. This is unheard of. It has to be a miracle. And we were going to announce that today. However, there's been a couple of people said, hey, we're still praying about it, still believing. So we're going to actually announce it next week. So if you still want to participate to give to this miracle offering, you can do so by scanning that QR code that Pastor Edgar showed earlier. There's a link to Light the World campaign. You can give there, and we would love for you to participate. But this has also kicked off a Light the World campaign team that is coming together to highlight what God is doing through our church and through you to begin to build a building on UTSA Boulevard. And so we have a team assembled that will constantly give us highlights over the next month of where we are, where are the projections, help us with ideas and thoughts as we begin to assemble this. So I'm so grateful what God has been doing just over the last couple of weeks and how we can continue to move forward with what He has for our church. So I want to continue to pray for this. If you would, join me as we pray. Father, we are so grateful. Jesus, your church over the last week has been so generous. The amount of giving thus far is just incredible. The generosity in our church is extraordinary, and we're so grateful for what you're doing. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would continue to provide for every need that is presented. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are doing this, God, through your church assembled. And God, thank you for moving on our hearts to do so. Bless this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me to read God's word this morning as we honor God's word? And as we stand, maybe you're new to our church or haven't been in a while. We've been standing in our Sunday liturgy, believing that God's word has authority over our life, and that it dictates some of our emotions. I mean, you don't feel like doing things, but then you read what you're supposed to do, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to do that. That's what the Word of God does for us. It helps us. It guides us. It directs us. And so we subject ourselves to what the Lord is saying and what He's writing, and this authority is good over us. So we stand to honor His Word, and we stand to read it and believe that God is going to speak this morning. Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 through 18. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. This is, if I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word. Jesus, we know that the truth in this word changes hearts, minds, and souls. God, we pray, Jesus, that your truth would be illuminated to us in a great way today. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we can do the new you because you're the one who created, you're the one who crafted, you're the one who formed, and we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and say, welcome to church. We are in our second Sunday of this. There are six declarations that we are going through that were laid out in Stephen Furtick's book. Six declarations that we're coming around, and then we're grabbing some scripture, we're exegeting the scripture, and we're preaching that scripture fresh to our church to believe that God has a word for us here in San Antonio. That he has a word for us who made it to church this morning, that God has something for you. Last week we learned that you're not stuck unless you keep from moving forward. So you keep moving forward. You keep believing God. You keep moving. You're not stuck as long as you keep moving. How many know we just got to keep moving? I got to tell myself all the time that because I want to be just sitting on the couch in my feels. I just want to lay in my pajamas, and I just want to sit there and binge Netflix, and sometimes I don't want to get out. I just feel stuck. But I pray that God would move us to a place of keep moving forward, one step at a time. God has more for his church than just to stay still. He wants us to keep moving. The second declaration that we learned today is Christ is in me, I am enough. Everybody say that. Christ is in me, I am enough. Tell your neighbor, you are enough because Christ is in you. Christ is in me. I am enough. And I tell you what, I need to hear this particular declaration more than most of them. I need to be reminded of this because the truth is sometimes we just don't feel like enough. Have you ever just not felt like enough? Like you didn't have enough in you. You didn't have enough to keep going. I remember planting the church in 2014, and my spiritual father, as he was moving in this way, and he was revealing to me scripture, he was opening up the word. We were meeting every week at Starbucks at 6 a.m. What college student does that? What campus minister makes their college student wake up at 6 a.m.? The crazy ones. That's the ones. But we woke up, we started diving in the word, started pouring in my life. Later on, he hired me on as the youth pastor of the church. God was doing some extraordinary things. Brandy and I felt a call to plant a church one day. And I remember I frustrated him. Have you ever frustrated somebody? And in that frustration, he said, "You're never going to plant a church." And I was like, he told me I would never plant a church because he was so frustrated because I wasn't living the conduct of a church planter. You know, when God calls you to do something, you have dreams and aspirations, you're moving forward to do something God's called you to do, but you just aren't living up to the dream that's inside of you, the potential that God's placed on your life, and then you get reprimanded by the very one that you thought you could trust. We drink coffee at 6 a.m. together. And in the back of my head was planted this moment. You're not a church planter. You're not going to plant a church. You are not enough. You're not enough. And so planting the church, I was believing God. I was not stuck. I was moving forward. But in the back of my mind, there was still this thought, you're not a church planter. You don't preach like those who can preach well. You don't stand like those who stand well. You never really started anything successful. You're not going to be able to go to an unknown people, an unknown place, a city of over a million people and plant a church. You're just not going to live up to what God has for you. You're not enough. Have you ever heard those words before? Have you ever told yourself those words? I'm not enough. I can't do this. This is not what I'm supposed to do. You start to believe all the lies that transpire. And this is made known throughout our culture where people constantly feel like they're behind. They constantly feel like they're behind. You look at your neighbor, they're driving a nicer truck, a nicer house. They're married. They're in a relationship. They have children. Their 401k is already at six figures. And you look and you see, I'm behind. I must not be enough. I must not have enough. Maybe God didn't know what he was doing. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, maybe God, you didn't know what you were doing with me? Psalm 139 is absolutely what God wants to speak over us, that God knew exactly what he was doing. When this psalm was written, it said that I know you, I love you, I have chosen you, I have picked you out. You are the clay, and I'm molding you. I'm doing everything. I'm crafting you. I know the hairs on your head. I know your gifts. I know your talents. I know your temperament. I know your personality. I know your beginning from your end. I know your days, your future days. This is what I love about this verse. It's not just the God of the moment. It's the God of the future. The sovereignty of God is a doctrinal truth that we hold on to from this verse, knowing that he already knows my future. He already knows what he's up to. He wrote to Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Great. I know these things. I planned these things. I've fashioned you. He started, even in the womb, he started knitting you together, breathing life in you, developing you. It's why we're a church that believes that life happens in the womb, that God says in Psalm 139, I am grafting you. I am shaping you. I am making you. I'm giving you everything you need because I want to let you know you are enough. You are enough. The old you, the you before Christ, the you back then, and maybe the old you is walking in today. Can I get that other microphone? Thanks. Maybe the old you is, thanks, Pastor Edgar. Maybe the old you is still showing up and you forget that God is doing something else. The new you. See, the old you says, I'm not enough. The new you says, I am enough. Let's put that up on the screen. You can take out your phones. You can take a picture of that. The old you says, I am not enough. The new you says, I am enough. That you are enough. You are exactly what God planned. When you look in the mirror, you're exactly who God chose. You're the one that he has plucked out and the one that we need to embrace. The new you is what God is moving into. It's what he sees in you. And when we look at our grades, and we look at the achievements, and we look at the job promotions, and we look at all these things, we go, man, I'm just not measuring up. But the new you says, I'm giving you everything you need for the season that you're in. The new you is coming and he's moving in your life. He's giving you a measure of security and of assurance. Psalm 139 is a verse for assurance that he didn't make a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't waste his breath with, oops. He's not like you and me when we're tracing something and we get out of the line because we don't have a steady hand. I want to tell you that God's hand is steady for your life. When he's tracing you, his pen is in every border, over every line. He knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't waver. He doesn't faint. He does the exact thing he needs to do on purpose for your life. God chose you. Everybody say, God chose me. But the question that comes up is, will you choose you? Will you choose you? God chose me, but will I choose me? Will I believe in what God has said? You see, the old you has an orphan mindset.
wondering around, wondering who your family is, wondering where you belong, always feeling out of place, always feeling like you don't measure up. But the new you says you are worthy to be called a son or daughter. The old you says, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know if I fit in what this world is. I don't know if I fit in these relationships, this university, this situation. I don't know if I fit in this marriage. I don't know if I fit as a mother or a father. The old you is constantly questioning because there's a voice in the back of your mind said, you'll never do that. You won't measure up. You're not going to make it. You're insignificant. The old you keeps playing your consciousness, keeps moving in a way where it keeps having its way inside of you. The old you starts moving to these old patterns, this old way of thinking, these old rhythms. But the new you is the one who's grafted into Jesus, chosen. John chapter 14, verse 18 through 20 says this: I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live in you. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. When Jesus is talking to his disciples right here, he's saying, I will show you the Father. I will be Jesus, who is not just the disciple maker in this moment, but when I die, I will rise again, and there will be post-resurrection life, and I'm going to prove that every nagging voice of death, every death thought that you have, every time you think that you're set back, every time you think you're at your worst, when you don't think you can go on anymore, I'm going to prove that I have resurrection life, that I conquer death, and those who are in me will conquer death with me. Those who are in me will have a post-resurrection, a post-life, no longer the old life, but the new you. The question is, will you choose the new you? Will you choose to walk in the new you? Will you choose to embrace him? Will you choose to move in his likeness? Will you choose what he has already put together, what he's already redeemed? Now, I struggle with this. It's why I need these declarations. Because how many of you know there's a truth, but then that truth isn't always your methodology? Right? Like, you have a theology. All of us have a theology. You showed up to church today because you believe that there is a higher power greater than you. Right? And you believe that there may be something to learn about this higher power other than what you could get if you didn't show up today. And all of a sudden, you're thinking rightly about who is God, and you're making some predetermined outcomes or some determined outcomes from what you're hearing about who is God, and your theology is being shaped. Who is God to you? How does he interact? How am I formed when we come together in community? What happens when we take the Lord's Supper? What happens as we sing corporately together? What happens as we read God's word together? What does Jesus reveal about himself in this scripture? So then our theology starts to move, but our methodology, when we leave this place, and the way we live, and the way we walk out, and the way that we try to practice what we just learned sometimes doesn't line up. Can I get an amen? Sometimes it just doesn't line up. Sometimes I find myself slipping up, going back to old ways of thinking, going back to old self. And it's because I hear these negative thoughts, these lies, these moments. You're not going to measure up. You're never going to get married. You're not going to have kids. You're not going to be successful. You won't have a career that will impact people. You can't be a part of a community because once they really get to know you, they won't want anything to do with you. You start to believe these things because either they were told to you or you told yourself them. Oprah Winfrey, $3.5 billion is her net worth. And she grew up, if you know her story, in an abusive situation, always being told that she's not good enough. Always being told she won't measure up. And so she was interviewed from time to time, and they talk about that, and she reveals this situation, like, even when I made my billion, even when I made all the paper, I still felt like I wasn't good enough. Isn't it fascinating as we go and we think that there is something that's going to satisfy us in our old self, in our old ways? When we get there, we found out it was just a house of cards. It was empty, and it wasn't what we thought it would be. But the new you says that there is a God who knows you and fashioned you, and he'll move you to a place to know him more and more, and he doesn't make mistakes, he doesn't make accidents, and the moment that someone tells you you're not good enough, you go, you know, you may think that, but I have a God who says otherwise. I have a king who has defined me and chosen me. He says, you are the clay. He begins to fashion you in his sovereignty. He is the potter, and he's shaping you, and he's molding you, and he chose you. Will you choose him? Amen. Will you choose him? We say, yes, Lord, I'm coming in agreement with that. I believe what you said. I'm going to move in that way. And some of us believe this lie, and we just need to let go of it. How do I let go of that? What do I do? Some of us need a counselor. We need to talk to somebody. Some of us need to talk to a pastor. And most of us just need to talk to our neighbor. This is something that I keep believing that I know is not true, and I need you to pray for me and break it off of me, because I know God has redeemed me. He has changed me. He has chosen me. Help me choose me. Help me come in agreement with what God has spoken. I'm telling you, if the church can't help you, who can? Right? Who's going to be able to help you? The ones who know the truth, who have the word, have exactly what you need, they're going to be the ones who help us get in these moments. So many moments I went to a counselor. I went to my wife. I went to the altar. I went to another pastor. I began to confess that which was untrue, and I found victory in my confession, not because of the confession, but the power of Christ, who, when you confess, he says in James, he begins to heal in your moment of confession. Power of Christ comes. You are enough. Will you choose you? And I want to let you know that you have enough. You have enough. The old you says, I don't have what it takes. I don't have what it takes to do what God's called me to do. I don't have what it takes to do everything that he has moved me into. But the new you says, you don't, but he does, and he is in you. You don't, but he does. And where is he? In you. He's in you. He's living in you. Christ in me, the hope of the world. Christ in me, changing an old self, an old creation, that which is orphaned, adopting, choosing, speaking your name, speaking life, speaking hope, speaking encouragement, speaking that you will keep moving on. You will keep moving forward, that you have enough for what God's called you to do. You have enough. Everybody say, I have enough. You have enough. You have enough. You have enough resources. You have enough moments. It's interesting. Like, I used this analogy last week, but this week we'll use it again in a different way. Is sometimes what I want, the new me, is a fantasy. Sometimes what I want, the new me, is a dream that will never be reality, because that's not what God called me to do. You take somebody else's dream, you try to make it your dream, you're going to be disappointed. You take somebody else's purpose and try to shape it and fold, the shoe doesn't fit. But God has called you. He has chosen you. And to do the new you is do exactly what God's called you to do. And he has given you enough for everything thing that he's moving you to. He's giving you enough. And I have been faced with this. Lord, how am I supposed to do that? I don't have enough. God, I remember going to Brandy, and I was going to propose to this woman, and she was way out of my league, and she was talented, and she was athletic, and I was little, you know, love handles and stuff, you know? I'm like, Lord, in my bank account, you know, I was a little youth pastor. It's not very big. In fact, it was negative, like debt, like student debt. Negative. What am I bringing? And Jesus is just like, bring you. Bring who I called you to be. Be who you're supposed to be. That's what you're bringing. I'm going to give you enough to move into that place. And I was scared to death, because when God calls you to something and he gives you enough resources and enough ability, it doesn't mean you don't go scared. Some of you still go scared. Oh, I'm courageous. Courageous is taking one step in front of the other, saying, I'm not my old self, I'm my new self in Christ, but I'm scary. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. You're with me. You're with me in the shadow, in the darkness. You're with me in the fire. You're with me in the trials. You're with me in the festivals. You're with me in the celebrations. You're with me in the highs and in the lows. I am with you, and I've given you enough in the situation you're going through. Some people just need to know that God has given you enough for one more day. For one more day. Who am I to take my life and end what God is doing in my life, because he's given me enough for one more day? And when you get to the next day, guess what? His mercies are new every morning. He'll give you enough for that day too. And what I love about God, and as you begin to discover him and you find yourself living, he's living inside of you, and you're coming in agreement with the new you, sometimes he doesn't give you a surplus. That's frustrating. I want a surplus. God, I want more grades, better grades, more bank account. I want more children. I want more. And you constantly want more, 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 more. But the thing is, God's a good God, isn't he? He's going to give you what you need for the hour that you're in. The new you trusts his provision for today. The new you trust that he's given you enough giftedness and talent to get through today. The old you, oh, you were a saver, weren't you? You saved, you learned, you were like chat AI on steroids. You were just like getting all the information you can. You were always going to be able to spit out an algorithm to solve your problems. But the new you says, God, you just gave me enough for today. Why? Why does he do this? The Lord so graciously revealed this to me during first service. He said, if I give you too much, you'll quit coming home. If I give you too much, you won't come back to the house. Remember parents, when you give your kids money? And if you give them too much money, you won't see them all weekend, because they're out spending it. You give them too much money, they're on some vacation taking selfies. You give them too much, they don't come back until it runs out. Why did God only give them manna that would last for one day? Because they needed to know that they needed to come home the next morning. They needed to be with God. They wanted a relationship with him. They wanted to be in his presence. And it's amazing, because God, his work isn't just a salvation. His work isn't just to save you, but it's to redeem you and to have relationship with you. He wants to know you. Jesus, in his personhood, used father language because he wanted us to understand the personhood of Father God, that it was relational. He used that language on purpose. When Jesus speaks, he didn't just speak flippantly. He spoke in a way to draw us in to the very relationship that we're able to have in the new you with him. God wants you to come home. He wants to be your source. He wants to be your provision. What I love is when my parents would give me money and I'd go out and have fun with my friends, and then I'd come home, I'd sit there, and then I'd celebrate everything that happened. All the good. Hey, yeah, I met this friend and we hung out with this person and I met this new person and we went and did this experience and it was so cool. And there was these celebration moments. Do you remember those celebration moments? The moments where your mother or your father or whoever raised you, your aunt or your uncle, they're sitting there and they're just waiting to hear about the relationship that you had as you begin to expend what they gave you for that day. And they want to celebrate with you. This is what God does. The new you says, I get to celebrate with him. I get to come home to him. I get to say, man, this is what was awesome. And then I spent a lot of money on a burger I shouldn't have bought. Sorry I did that. God's saying, you know, I gave you enough. And then you go, oh, but that lie came back. I'm not enough. So I spent something to make me feel better, to pacify the lie I was believing in the moment. And what do they do? It's okay. I love you. Come here. Christ in you is enough for the relationship that he longs for. I'm going to give you enough for tomorrow. Thank you for telling me that. Thank you for being honest. God wants honest you, because the honest you is a new you. The liar is the old you. God wants honest you. He wants transparency. He loves you. Galatians 2, 18 through 21 says this, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He loves you. He gave himself for you. Christ is enough. And we walk it out by faith, day by day. The new me says, I'm going to walk. I'm not stuck. And I'm going to choose the God. I'm going to choose the person God sees. Will you choose that person? Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things, old you pass away. Behold, all things become new. Becoming new. Perhaps you came this morning and even talking about a moment of abuse, a moment of neglect, a moment where you first believed the lie that you're not enough. You're not enough. You don't have enough. You won't measure up. I want you to begin to confess that lie. Say, Jesus, this is what I'm believing. I can't plant a church. I'm not enough. That's what was told. Got to give it to you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give me what I need for today. I come out of the agreement of the lie, and I walk in your truth, fearfully, wonderfully, made, intricately known, provision for today, relationship for today. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your words of truth today. Would it not just be theology, but put it in my heart that I can walk it out in faith today, that I can believe it in every way, in Jesus' name. Amen.